And though some states promised to release people early to reduce numbers, in reality, the entire reduction has come from admitting fewer people in the first place, says John Pfaff of Fordham University in New York. Now that the virus is receding, the number of prisoners may rise again, suggests Mr. Pfaff, as jury trials resume. Yet many prison officers chose to quit or retire as COVID raged. And as wages surge elsewhere, fewer are joining to replace them. Last summer, nearly one-third of positions in federal prisons were vacant. In September, an anonymous guard at Lee Arundel State Prison, a women's facility in Georgia, told state representatives that on a good day, there might be as few as six or seven officers to guard 1,200 inmates. Hannah Riley of the Southern Center for Human Rights and Advocacy Group reckons 70% of positions in the state are unfilled. The Georgia Department of Corrections did not reply to a request for comment. Georgia is now under investigation from federal authorities, such as the extent of violence inside. So what does this all add up to? Even with the recent decline, America imprisons more people than any other criminal justice system. Black and Hispanic people are especially likely to be locked up. In 2018, 1 in 45 black men was in prison, and more still in jails. Poor conditions are not only egregious human rights violations, they also make prison less effective. A Department of Justice study from 2018 found that 5 out of 6 people released from state prisons were rearrested within 9 years. The fact that prisoners are warehoused with limited access to education or mental health treatment in a place where drug abuse and gangs are rife is surely part of the reason. Worsening conditions are likely to lead to more reoffending. Restrictions on visits mean many prisoners have lost contact with family over the past 2 years, says Joby Cates, the founder of Restore Justice, a charity in Illinois which presses for criminal justice reform. Visits are everything for our people, she says, but prisons have been slow to bring them back. It's not only family members who have been kept out, but also teachers, therapists, and others who help prepare people for release. Electronic means of keeping in contact got worse too because of staff shortages and worries about moving people around. They made it to where you can only get one phone call a day, says Najee Webster, who was released from prison in Illinois in September and who now works for Miss Kate's charity. Prisoners can get access to email through tablet computers, but these cost money, not only for the machine, but also per email sent. Sending money to prisoners to pay for these services comes with exorbitant fees charged by firms such as Global Tellink and JPay, which saw its revenues spike in 2020. The tragedy is that falling prison populations ought to be an opportunity to close some of the worst institutions, and state budgets are unusually replete with cash. Mr. Ossoff says he has found that improving conditions in prisons, unlike releasing people, has bipartisan support. With several Republicans, he is pushing for more congressional oversight of prisons. But prison guard unions are reluctant to accept changes that make their jobs harder and, thanks to the staff shortages, they are more powerful than ever. It seems more likely that things will get worse.